Blog Talk Radio.
By my geekling lovely sister Raina Star.
Hello, bitches. We missed you.
We missed you a lot.
I missed you a long time. Call that wrong reference. Anyway, hi.
I'll give you a disclaimer.
I must disclaim myself. Okay, for those of you who are new to the show, I'm about to issue the disclaimer. This is not a G-rated show. This is not a PG-rated show. We would be lucky with an R, but we'd probably get an X. So if you have anybody who's sensitive to bad language, dirty-minded old women, calluses on your toes, I have no fucking idea. Please escort anybody who should not be listening to my big fucking mouth out of the room. 3, 2, 1. Oh, too late! Too late, bitches. I am in gear. And I apologize. I am once again under the weather.
Yeah, that shit's been going around. Because we're in North Carolina, so it's like...
Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to remember. But anyway.
Especially my age.
I think we started out the week at like 36 degrees.
Indeed.
And today it was like 88.
Close.
Yeah.
It's
something like
high
that. 80s. Yeah. It's like, you know what, North Carolina weather? Fuck you. That's all I got to say. It's just, spring did not happen here.
Just give your shout out because I have a few people to tell the fuck off.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to my cousin Jessica up in New Jersey, who is going to be here for Easter, and I'm so excited.
Yay.
Love you, Jess. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips.
Yay! All right, I need to issue a couple of fuck yous. Can I?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, my first fuck you.
You can fuck anybody you want on our show.
And repeatedly. Okay, so the first person I want to give a fuck you to, and I'm sad to give out this fuck you, because I actually like this man, but Patrick Cannon, you done fucked up.
You
made all this Democrats look like assholes. Fuck you.
That's a double fuck you from me,
because
I voted for your ass.
I know, seriously. We supported your happy ass, and you have disappointed. So, fuck you to that. The other person I'd like to give a fuck you to tonight is Justice John Roberts. Fuck you, you bastard. Now, because it's the pagan pundit night, we will be discussing what it now means, since we no longer... have people being represented as people.
Uh-huh.
We have money being represented as people. So, in essence, every election, and I hope Talison is going to talk me off the ledge, because, you know, that's part of the gig, is talking me down from the ledge. I like to be on the ledge on occasion, but not this time. I'm freaked out at the thought that every election... And a lot of people will say every election is already bought and paid for. But this is like a blatant disregard for the electorate in ways that I really didn't think was going to happen, and it's fucking happening.
Yeah, and it's fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But more on that when the film's on in 25.
Anyway,
so what's going on with you?
I'm actually in a really good mood today. Shit's starting to fall in place.
Shit's starting to fall.
Yeah, exactly. That is the optimum word. I can't talk, though.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, no, I'm realizing situations for what the fuck they are.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. It's not always an easy thing. I said this is going to be a year of amazing fucking changes. It's going to be a growth year.
Yeah.
I was not kidding. Anyway, so let's see. What the fuck all happened to me this week? I have worked my ass off. I as everybody can probably hear, my throat is not working. So I apologize for the gravel that is my voice. Oh, and let's give a shout out to our friend Ian Corrigan, because I received my order of the Ninefold Jewish Tarot. No, wait, that's not what it's called. It is the Ninefold Jewish Oracle.
Yes,
there. And I have to tell you, it's really cool. Sorry I didn't bring it with me. I'm sorry I didn't bring anything with me. I forgot half my shit. So that's what happens when you work in excess of 70 hours a week. You kind of start forgetting your name for a while.
Yeah.
So I apologize to everybody. But
you don't have to apologize.
That's right. Oh, that's right. It's our fucking show.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. I forget sometimes. Okay, so I didn't get to wish Blood to the Star to everybody, so I know that's past, but Blood to the Star. Anyway, this is a really heavy-duty, like, magic period of time right now. I'm feeling it.
Are you feeling it? Oh, God, yeah.
I'm feeling it. I fucking spent the other night casting like a motherfucker. I was casting like crazy. You know, when the mood possesses me, I just don't.
Oh, yeah. No, I do the same thing. Because as everybody knows, it's been a very mostly down year for me. But, you know, there's been some ups and you know, but mostly downs. You know, it's it seems to be on the way upward, knock on wood. But, yeah, it's like I'm casting left and right. You know, it's just whenever I feel like it. I don't care if I've got any equipment with me. I don't care if I've got any candles.
Yeah,
it's just I'm actually feeling it in my hand at this point. I wasn't for a long time. Yeah.
I think you were being stifled.
Exactly. It's amazing what happens when you awake.
Oh, no, right. You learn from them.
Yes, that's true.
We must try to learn from our mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes come from
mm-hmm.
But anyway, I digress. I will be digressing a lot tonight because fog, and I haven't even taken any medication. My brain is like
pew 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 pew.
So I have to give another shout out. This is for the Facebook crowd, social media crowd. I must endorse Dorothy Morris's Head Witch Oil and Bitch Be Gone Oil.
Oh, I'm getting some tonight.
What?
Bitch Be Gone. If I have the Head Witch, I love that. Oh, my God. You have to get it if you don't have it because it smells like, what is it, like coffee?
Yeah.
It's very sweet. It's amazing.
Oh, please. No. Bitch Be Gone, honey, I would wear that morning, noon, night. And
ooh, awesome.
Yes, and shit with that oil.
Yes.
And as we know, I'm a big fan of the oil of Dorothy Morrison, because not only do they work, but they smell amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, and just by the way, I think I feel like I need to mention this. I do not get any kind of payment. I do not get free products. I do not get anything from our guests. If everything that I tell you I've tried, I have paid for. So before you take on a show, well, nobody's offered to make me a show.
That's true. We can be show. That's no problem.
You kind of talk me into it if you've got the right shit. But
actually, no. David Salisbury has sent us copies of his book.
Yeah, but we're not show.
Exactly.
We're not show.
We just love Dorothy.
And David.
And Ian. We love you all.
We do love you all. But honestly, the stuff that I get, okay, except for David's book, and I don't think we got the whole book. I think
we got the PDF.
I got the
pre-copy.
That's right.
The
pre-copy.
Because he's going to be coming on the show pretty soon.
Yes, he is, because his book came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's coming out in May.
Oh,
officially.
It's almost out.
No, not yet.
David Salisbury, you need to be on the show soon to talk about Teen Spirit with him. And the one after that. Yeah, another one?
No, there was one before that. Team Wicca is the new one.
That's the new one.
In the Heart of... Oh, God.
That's one of those.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's his first one.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Well, we can talk about his first book, too. That's fine. He's so fucking talented and so young. I want to smack him around.
I know, and he's gorgeous. He's so cute.
He's very handsome.
I want to feed him cookies.
Before or after you bathe him?
No.
I went there. I'm evil like that. Don't y'all know.
He is otherwise occupado.
Oh, I thought he was.
He was, but yes.
Ah. We're talking amongst ourselves. Anyway.
Which we encourage you to do also. But the fact is that no, we don't chill, we don't get kickbacks. Everything I tell you that I use, I actually buy and I do use it. So that's just in case anybody was wondering if I'm a paid spokesperson. I am not. Which doesn't mean I won't. But I will tell you if I'm getting payment for something I endorse. I'm honest like that. So there you go.
She's good.
Well, I don't know if I'm defined good.
Okay, you're good at it.
not quite the same thing.
This is true. This is
very true. So anyway, it's been a crazy week. I'm surprised half of us don't have pneumonia. I can't keep up with the weather. I dress for winter in the morning, and I'm dressed for skinny dipping in the afternoon. I'm telling you, I don't understand how people are not sick all over the place. I can't keep up. I just can't keep up. The weather is doing some fucked up shit. I don't get it. I don't remember spring being like this.
No, it's honestly, yeah. we have not gotten spring this year. It basically went from winter. I mean, like, one day, this was, like, what, last week or the week before? It was literally raining ice one day.
Yeah.
And the next day, it was, like, in the 70s.
Yeah, see, like, here's the thing. Normally, in North Carolina, you'll have winter, and then it will instantly turn into summer. This is why both seasons are trying to hang on to the same day. They start off winter and summer. I don't get it.
Exactly. I would love to see spring give them a run for their money because I miss spring. You know, and I don't know if you guys can hear in the background. We've got the windows open. That
they're chirping. They're chirping. What do you want to talk about?
You know, I had something I wanted to talk about. I completely forgot.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about something else until you remember.
Okay.
So another shout-out to give, our friend Jenny D has a new radio show.
Awesome! Yay, Jenny!
I think it's on Thursday nights at 7:30, but I can't remember. The old show was Mondays at 7. I think the new show is Thursday nights at 7:30. Sorry, I don't have all the details.
Yes, we'll get them.
I just remembered that I wanted to mention that. But I'm tired. And I'm old, so I have an excuse. Ugh.
I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the pagan community. We've lost some awesome people. And
Again?
Yeah. There's Donald Michael Craig.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Right. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, which his birthday was just the other day. I was like, oh. Right in the heart. But, and we lost somebody else, and I feel horrible because I was not familiar with her.
Judy Harrow.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, people are getting sick left and right.
Hello.
Almost everybody I know has lost someone or something. You know, we lost our dog.
I lost my sanity.
You had some?
True. That would necessitate having had it in the first place.
I was going to say, you've known me for how long now? Since you met me, I don't think you've had 50. Because I took it from you. Anyway.
Well, what the fuck did you do with it? Because you don't have it anymore.
I don't know. It went skipping off with Mom.
Skip in.
Skipping in. They're jumping.
Wishing and splashing. Rolling in. I have no idea. Oh, my goodness. I've lost my shit. My shit is officially lost. I don't know what to do.
Did you check Lost and Found?
No.
No?
They don't keep my shit at the Lost and Found.
Your shit bites.
Oh, okay. So here was a conversation I had this week, and I cracked up. So, all right, apparently, I am not, if any of our listeners can tell me the origin of the word cooter.
What?
Cooter.
Cooter?
Don't you know what a cooter is?
I thought that was the dude from Duke the Hazard.
No, cooter is pussy.
Oh.
Yeah. Some people refer to their pussy as cooter. And I'm like, cooter? I don't know where the word cooter came from. So we were having this discussion about which is a better word, or cooter.
Oh, no. That is a toss-up. I kind of like both.
Because cooter kind of sounds like an unwashed.
Yeah.
Like a beer swilling. That's your cooter. I mean.
Oh, God.
I had to put my cooter outside. Because it was smelling bad. I don't know.
My cooter done bit the mailman.
See, but when you say cooter, I mean, it conjures up a totally different image.
Yeah. See, I like cunt. Cunt is a fun word to say.
Cunt is a great word.
Yeah.
You know, you would call somebody a cunt, but would you call them a cooter?
No.
See, cooter almost begs that stereotypical flaw.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
you can't see it anymore.
Cooter.
Cooter.
I mean.
Or like, it's like a pet name.
Here, Cooter. Come, Cooter, come.
Oh, my God.
Here, Cooter.
Okay, now I have to get another animal.
And name it Cooter.
I would like for you to meet my Cooter.
My cooter pretty?
It's nice and fluffy.
You don't have soft it.
If you sit so long enough, I'll lick you.
Okay, I'm here on my cooter. If your cooter is doing well, okay, I have to worry about it.
Oh, my cooter was chasing my pussy.
Oh, so it has to be a dog.
Oh.
You have to call.
Okay, never mind.
The dog, okay, so if you... Hypothetically, you would get a dog named Cooter, and Cooter would chase your pussy. So your Cooter would be chasing your pussy.
Through the house. Or through the yard.
You know, it gets really dusty that way. I would not let my Cooter or my pussy be running free through the house. Because it might hit a bunny, and then it's all over.
Picking up crumbs under the table.
Did your cooter drop this? Check your cooter. I don't know. I had my dinner. I had my steak on the table. I was like, is your cooter picking up small change and meals from the table?
Oh, God.
How old is your cooter? Did you put a leash on your cooter?
Have you strained your cooter yet?
Cooter
out
for a walk. Yeah, take
my cooter out for a walk.
I know. I call your car cooter.
Oh, I'm gonna take my cooter for a drive. I take my cooter to the mall.
I forgot to roll up my windows and my cooter got all wet.
Oh, my God.
Have you waxed your cooter?
My cooter pieces.
My cooter buried a bone. Wait, go back to the dog.
Oh, see, I was just going to say, could you put the kids in the car?
Oh. Can you hold up the car?
security is a trap. And you're going to be in my Twitter. All the seals on my cooter are shut.
Wondered what cooter means or any of the what?
I have no idea. Hold on a second. It means, well, it means vagina boob. Okay. If anybody knows.
I need to find out what the how where the word comes from. Don't say it comes from my cooter. It might come from my cooter. I know. It's hilarious.
Cooter brown. What is that? Cootie brown?
What is a cooter brown?
Okay. Yeah.
Word origins. Cooter. Word. Origin. Origin. Cooter. Not cougar, you idiot.
I wonder how many times we said that word now.
What? Cooter?
Cooter.
Cooter, 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 cooter. Early 19th century of unknown origin. A cooter is a turtle from Mexico.
Oh! So cooters come from Mexico.
Wait a minute, there's a difference of opinion between Merriam-Webster and dictionary.com. Now, I am a Merriam-Webster kind of girl.
There you go.
That is the dictionary of record and of note.
Well, and dictionary.com is actually not that great.
Oh, check this out. Cooter is a noun, and there is also something called cooter graph.
Oh.
Which cannot be confused with coup d'etat. Cooter d'etat?
I don't know that.
Okay. Etymology of African origin, akin to Bambara and Malinke, Kuta turtle, 1832, chiefly southern, of any of several freshwater turtles.
Interesting. So it's actually a turtle.
My pussy does not look like a turtle. It does not have a hard exterior shell. Are you
well,
suspicious of snapper?
Maybe that's where it comes
that
from. Maybe.
Okay, now I have to know what cooter graph is.
Be interesting to see what that looks like. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we are not pulling cards tonight. This is not up to it, and I'm not pulling cards without her.
And it's 3 minutes until guest time.
Yes, and we got waylaid by cooters.
I didn't get laid by a cooter.
I said, wait, oh. Da, 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 da.
Okay, so one last thing I'm going to mention. I met somebody today who worked for a company that was where the name plastic was in the title of the company name. Oh, it was called Plastic Dress Up.
What?
Now, seriously, I met somebody who used to work for a company called Plastic Dress Up. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear plastic dress-up. I know what I think about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to look a bitch up with some fucking toys. So I was thinking, apparently this place sold award, like little statuary awards, like customizable stuff for your company.
Oh.
You know, like best team player, best brown noser, half kisser, yada, yada, yada. People, when you name your company, be really careful about what you call it. Because a company called Plastic Dress Up does not sound like a customizable award company.
No.
Unless you're going to imprint my name on a dildo, but I'm not going to fuck myself. I'm just saying. It came across as weird to me. That's all.
That's like a strange name.
Plastic dress.
I would have literally thought like vinyl clothing. You know, because that's
as a
thing.
At the very least.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where's our guest?
He is in the queue. You want me to bring him on?
Bring on! I need to talk about this whole friggin' debacle.
Hello?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, you. How you doing?
I'm Ellen.
I can barely hear you. Where you at?
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit. Yeah, there you are.
Okay, let me get this microphone. I'm Skyping in here, so let me get the computer a little closer to me here. Okay, how's that going?
That's better.
That's much better.
Nelson, what the fuck is going on?
Because
I emailed Talison. Actually, I posted on Talison's Facebook page. I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm devastated. What's going on?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court decided to hand rich people yet another victory in their quest to have unlimited money play a role in campaigns. I mean, it's just, you know, one of these things that was pretty much expected after the whole Citizens United ruling, and just expanded the amount of money that people can kick into campaigns. Now, it wasn't a total victory because the people who were trying to sue were trying to get rid of all campaign contributions, and the individual contribution that you can put towards an individual candidate still stands. The limit that any one person can donate to any one candidate is still $2,600, $2,600. Excuse me. And but basically, there also used to be a limit as to how much one person could give to the entire raft of candidates, which is, I think, somewhere around $76,000, and that limit was struck down, which basically means that if you want to, you can, you know, kick in $1 million to a political party, and they can distribute that money however the hell they want to. If they want to give it all to one person, they can do that.
So in essence, what I'm hearing is that even the supposed air of legitimate campaign is, but like, it's totally gone.
Well, the thing that people need to remember here is that we've already had one political cycle in the post Citizens United era. That was the 2012 campaign, and that campaign was supposed to be very bad for Democrats because the Republicans were poised yet again with a favorable political climate to take over the Senate. We had a sluggish economy, which tends to heighten anti-incumbent moods and that sort of thing. And Citizens United allowed unlimited dark money to flow into campaigns. And flow into campaigns, it certainly did. But take a look at what happened in 2012. The Republicans not only didn't take the Senate, they lost seats.
Yeah.
Originally, they needed 4 seats to take the Senate. By the time 2012 is over, they needed 6 seats to retake the Senate, which means the Democrats had a net pickup of 2 seats, even though the dark money favored Republicans almost 3-1. And we had President Obama cruise to an easy reelection over Mr. 47% himself, Mitt Romney. And really, I have to ask y'all to excuse me here. I've been dealing with some sinuses that'll cause a little bit more hacking. I wish I was coughing because of more pleasant smoke, but no. That's my.
You're not the only
person.
We're having
to
do that.
What it really comes down to is the fact that elections in the modern era are changing. Now, if a lot of these rulings, like Citizens United or the one we had this week, if these had happened in the 80s or the 90s, we would have seen just a ridiculous tilt towards the moneyed interests and the Republicans who are their, you know, personal pool boys. But in 2012, what we saw is the fact that when our people, when the left goes to the polls, we can win. Numbers will always outdo money, especially when you consider that the way campaigns are being fought is changing. The era when having a big war chest assured you victory was the era when TV ads were the be-all and end-all decision maker. Now, that's not the case anymore. A lot of people don't get their political information from TV anymore. They get it from the Internet. They get it from blogs. They get it from social media. They get it from a lot of other areas. The fact of the matter, corporate money favors Mitt Romney over President Obama, something like in somewhere between 4 and 6 to 1, and yet President Obama still cruised to a relatively easy re-election victory. So, and also the way that money is being raised is changing too. The era when getting the big corporate donations was your quickest ticket to being able to put together a big war chest and a good campaign organization has passed, because the progressive model, the idea of raising money from people all over the country, even outside of your particular district, it's just, it's a very simple and yet elegant model. The idea is, instead of going to some political fat cat to get a $1 million donation, if you can get a million people to give you a dollar, there's your $1 million. And Democrats have proven to be very, very effective, especially progressives have been very, very effective at raising money in this fashion. That's why, you know, any of us who are on the email list for the Democratic Party are always getting all those email requests asking for a dollar, $2, $3, that kind of thing. So it's really, yes, the corrosive effect of money in politics does need to be fought, but if we can keep ourselves focused, if we can keep ourselves organized, and most importantly, if we can keep our people voting and coming out, going to the polls and voting, we win. It's that simple. So I think the most disastrous effect of this type of ruling is to make people feel like it's hopeless, like no matter what we do, that the big corporate interests are just going to roll over us, and that's just not the case. But that's part of the what I call the political hipsterism of the modern days, where people tend to like to write things off and all that. That's the number one thing that we have to fight. We have to fight the tendency amongst some on the left to go, oh, man, it's all screwed. We can't do anything. They're all corrupt. The both parties are the same and all that stuff. Uh-huh. That's the thing we've got to fight. I mean, money, yeah, you know, there were plenty of candidates who were outspent who still won if they had a good ground game and if they could get their base constituency to go to the polls to vote. So really, I think we need to have this ruling motivate us to get people to the polls, to fight, to be like those people in Florida when they were trying so hard to keep the poor people and the women and the minorities from voting in Florida. These people said, fuck you, we'll go out and stand in an 8-hour long line. You're not going to stop us from voting. We got to have that same attitude.
I was in one of those lines. I was like, nope, I'm voting.
Exactly.
I'm also going to be voting for Kay Hagan. You know, they started a friggin' smear campaign against her, like, last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, within, like, a week of the last, you know, the local election. It was within a week of that, and then they're starting a smear campaign against her. Oh, she's all into Obamacare. You know, that's not a fucking insult.
Right.
I don't
as a matter
understand
of fact.
How they thought. They're still trying to push that. This is an insult.
They are, and yet, well, you know, the news we've been hearing about Obamacare lately has been very, very different than the news we heard after the law first went into effect. We're not hearing about website glitches and all those non-stories. Now we're hearing about things about how Obamacare hits the 7 million enrollee mark on time. And that's not the only story here. The numbers of people who are getting covered because of the Affordable Care Act, not only do we have those 7 million that have signed up through healthcare.org, but we were going to have an extended enrollment period now that's going to net another million people who have coverage. Not only that, but when you take a look at, let me pull up my numbers here, because I've got several really good numbers going here for you. Let's see, that was the wrong chart I had up here. Okay, let's take a look at this. We also have people who have signed up for qualified health care plans not on the exchanges, somewhere between 2 and 9 million people. We have 5 to 6 million people who have coverage because of the expanded Medicaid coverage. We've got 3 million people under 26 who now have coverage under their parents' health care plans. We are looking at somewhere between 10 and 20 million people who now have coverage or better coverage because of the Affordable Care Act. And when you take a look at that and you realize that the Republicans are planning on running in the midterms on the idea of repealing Obamacare, they're basically running on the idea of let's take 10 to 20 million Americans and kick them off their health care plans. And that's just as big of a political turkey as it sounds like. I mean, what we're really seeing here is we're seeing Republicans desperately try to run on Obamacare because their base keeps telling them that that's a winning subject for them, but that's always a winning subject amongst their base. The fact of the matter is that it's becoming less of a winning position for them outside of their base. The thing that we have to do is we have to make sure that enough people who are not part of the Republican base turn out to vote. I mean, public policy polling, PPP, that kicked a lot of ass in the 2012 cycle, have come out and said that taking the House is entirely possible for Democrats in this cycle. We just have to get our people out to vote.
Yeah. Now, I do have a question, and I'm sorry. Are you feeling okay? Or, you know, if you need to go at any point, just let us know.
I just have as long as y'all aren't annoyed by me having to cough occasionally, I'm fine. Just fine.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, we just didn't want you to feel like all pressured out.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. It's just, you know, I've had every year in the spring and in the autumn, my sinuses say, guess what? We don't like you right now. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm feeling great.
We're totally good. Yeah.
One question I did have, because I talked to a friend of mine he had relayed to me that he had signed up for Obamacare. Well, I shouldn't even call it that. It's the Affordable Care Act.
Well, not only that, but you're not signing up for that. You're signing up for private health insurance that's being facilitated through the public exchanges that are a part of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Exactly. Now, his report was he bought it like 2 months ago.
Right.
Been paying, I think he said he's paid $600 so far into it, but the hospital, and I don't know what the deal is exactly because I wasn't exactly sure, but he said that they said they don't, you know, that there's no record of him having paid for it.
Well, that's down to him and his particular insurance company, whoever he's buying his policy through.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's a peculiarity of whoever he's buying his coverage through. Unfortunately, there is no public option as a part of health care reform just now. As a matter of fact, right now, it's not really health care reform. It's insurance reform. And now we need to expand on that. We need to take things and improve upon that. And the House Progressive Caucus has a new budget they've unveiled that would actually create a public option where basically there would be a government-owned health insurance company that people could buy into that would be a non-profit type thing and that would thus be able to offer far better prices to people. But that's not the case right now. So it's whoever his private insurance is through, that would be the difficulty for them. And there have been plenty of instances where private insurance companies are using the confusion over the implementation of this law to take advantage of people. I know Shaka Shock's an insurance company trying to screw you over. Yeah.
I know.
But that would be a peculiarity of his individual insurance. And, you know, if there is some sort of hanky-panky going on there, I would recommend contacting the Consumer Protection Bureau, which now is a little bit more beefed up since we got someone confirmed to run the damn thing.
Okay. Well, I will definitely be sure to pass that along to him because I was confused. I was like, wait, you've been paying into this and they're still not covering you? That it just, it didn't make sense. So that puts things into perspective.
Now, what state is this person in, you know?
He's in North Carolina.
Okay, well, see, that's even a little dicier because North Carolina is one of those states that's been trying to obstruct the implementation of the Affordable Care Act pretty much since its inception. So that's another matter altogether, too. As a matter of fact, a new projection released this week is saying that in North Carolina alone, solely because of North Carolina's governor's interference in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act in this year, North Carolina is going to see somewhere between 450 and 1,140 people who die unnecessarily because they don't have coverage because of Republican interference. Direct result. So
wow.
That's just in North Carolina. In Texas, it could be anywhere between 1,800 and 3,000 people who die because of Rick Perry's interference in the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, he needs to go the hell away.
Yeah. Well, he is. He's leaving. He's being term limited out, and he is planning on running for president again, which is going to be really fucking funny. and now you're starting to see the clown car start in Texas. So, and let me tell you, how pathetic. How and what kind of a bad shape is the Republican Party in right now? The fact that I put out a story on my Facebook earlier this week that some of the Republican money people are seriously pressuring Jeb Bush to run for president in 2016 because they got no one else. Yes. Jeb Bush's mom said that we've had enough Bushes, and that's his mom. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
These are the same people who 2 weeks ago were trying to talk Mitt Romney into running again.
Okay, please don't.
I know, right?
Now, I think this is fucking hilarious, though, because, I mean, think about this. I mean, Hillary could really use an easy run. Then we could just reallocate money to down-ballot races. If they nominate someone like Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush or Rand Paul or Calgary Ted Cruz or Caribou Barbie or any of these people. Days when it was Newt Gingrich versus Mitt Romney in the primaries, that's going to look like the good old days for the Republicans.
Right.
It's getting fun. I mean, for people like myself, I'm just looking at this going, oh, wow. And I thought they couldn't go any lower than Rick Santorum.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they'll find somebody.
Oh, I know. I mean, somebody who makes Ron Paul look like, you know, Dwight Eisenhower. That's just sad.
Yeah. I don't know. They could, you know, just they could decide to throw Bobby Jindal in there. I mean, I'm not saying he's worse, but that's definitely dumber.
Oh, Bobby Jindal just came out with a big old plan to replace the Affordable Care Act with basically...
Oh!
It's a big old plan that basically says let's kick everybody off their insurance and let them have health care savings accounts. Basically, it's like, yeah, let's put all our health care money in the hands of Wall Street and see how well that works out for us. That's his big plan.
Yeah, you know what? He can go first.
Yeah, exactly.
He can go first. He can do it, and he can test it out for the rest of America. And if it works, and if we have proof that it works and not, you know, corporate proof that it works,
right. Then
maybe we'll think about it. You know, but where the fuck was that plan when they were like freaking out that this was going to happen?
Well, see, the problem is that plan with the health savings accounts, some states have already tried that, and it went over like a lead balloon. Seriously, I mean, it went over like it went over like Rush Limbaugh speaking at the NAACP. It just did not work. It didn't cover anybody.
That was good. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, what is the problem with the Affordable Health Care Act? You know, what my question is, why are they so against it? I mean, is it just because of the money? What is their reasoning behind it?
Well, the thing is that originally most of the stuff in the Affordable Care Act came out of the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank as an alternative to Hillary Care in the 1990s. It's basically what Republicans ran on as their idea of health care reform right up until the moment when President Obama used that as the base for the Affordable Care Act. And as soon as he said, well, let's go ahead and use this, then all of a sudden it was a demonic thing sent from the pits of hell. And the real thing that's wrong for the Republicans is twofold. For one thing, it is a way of basically stopping health insurance companies from being cash cows for multinational corporations, which they've really been for a long time. I mean, health insurance companies have been the kind of thing that a big multinational can buy, and it basically is just a profit generator for them. Because what they do is they try to cover as many healthy people as they can, charge ridiculous rates to anybody who actually uses the service, and kick people off the plans once they actually start needing to use them. It was a recipe for unlimited profit. And then some of the innovations of the Affordable Health Care Act under President Obama, such as requiring 80% of all premiums to actually be spent on providing health care to people, those are the kind of things that prevents them from being just ridiculous billion-dollar profit generators. But the real problem why the Republicans still have to be so invested against it is the simple fact that they've been against it so much, so often. They went against it basically under the idea that they have to oppose everything that President Obama wants to do. Basically, that Obamacare carries the guy's name on it in the popular culture, and the fact that Obamacare, if it works even half as good as people think it will, then the Republicans are toast because they've been so against it and predicting the end of the world because of it, that once people start getting coverage, or they start getting better coverage because of it, then that basically is a huge pocketbook direct. I mean, this is no longer a hypothetical. This is a direct benefit to people's lives that is 100% thanks to Democratic politicians and policies. And that is the kind of thing that is yet another nail in the coffin of the Republican Party. So they've thrown in all of their eggs into the anti-Obamacare basket. And it's really starting to become obvious just how disastrous that was.
Well, it's, you know, I don't know. The Republicans, frankly, you know, this is my personal opinion, and I'm sure the opinion of, you know, maybe some people will agree with me, but it's almost like they're a bunch of kids on a school playground, you know, and it's like they're all sitting there chit-chatting away and, oh, you know what, we need to get ice cream. Oh, yeah, we need to get ice cream. Obama comes along. You know what, ice cream sounds good. Oh, God, ice cream is evil. Ice cream will make you fat, and ice cream will do this to you. You know, it's like anything man says.
Right.
You know,
the fact that Republicans had 6 years under George W. Bush when they had the White House and both houses of Congress, they had 6 years to have their ideal vision of what Republican governance and conservative governance is all about. And it proved to be an abject fucking disaster. And what they're terrified about is the idea that the Democrats can come along and make things better at all. It's only going to magnify the disaster that was the Bush years. So it's just one thing after another. I mean, they had a blank check to do whatever they wanted. They fucked things up royally. They didn't get to do nearly as many giveaways to their buddies as they feel like they should have because they were all distracted with war and all that stuff. And they just know that as Democrats move in and make things better at all, it just magnifies the abject failure of conservative philosophy economically, socially, and politically.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that, speaking of war, you know, the deal with Ukraine and you know, Crimea and all, you know, all that's going on with Russia, I mean, they're like biting at the chomping at the bit for us to go to war.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what, you know, why? Just, you know what, enlighten me, because I'm confused. I'm just going to let you go.
Well, again, it's the Bush era neocon idea that the U.S. can use military might to depose dictators, and if they do that, that the world's just going to flock to sucking the United States' dick in gratitude for it, and it just doesn't work. And the idea of using the military as the sole tool of foreign policy, which really was that really was the concept of people like Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and all that stuff, that the idea that that too is being laid very obviously as just a massive error and a complete and utter failure, really the fact that Republicans have not had a coherent response to the Crimean crisis and President Obama's handling of it. On one hand, you hear people who love to say, he's going to get us into war, he wants to get us into war, and he's a weakling and he's not going to do anything that really works, yada, yada, yada. And yet, what happens? The U.S. hits the Russians in a way that we could never hit the Soviets economically, because the Soviet Union had a very closed economy. Sanctions against the Soviet Union didn't work because they were a self-contained economy. They were a self-contained, really crappy economy, but they were a self-contained economy. Russia, on the other hand, unlike the Soviet era, is an interconnected economy on the world stage. And in many ways, Putin is allowed to have free rein in Russia because the money interests, the people who are becoming very, very wealthy, are happy getting very, very wealthy, and Putin's letting them do whatever they want economically, and so they are backing Putin doing whatever he wants to do socially and militarily and all that fun stuff. So when the president decides we're going to hit him economically, The Republicans like to say, well, that just doesn't work, and yet it does. Putin has been contacting the Obama administration saying, hey, can we find a way to loosen some of these economic sanctions, especially the travel restrictions, the fact that some of the richest people in Russia aren't being allowed to travel to the U.S. or other European nations. That's really putting a big hit on their pocketbooks, and they're starting to turn to Putin and say, hey, listen, Junior, you're having your fun with your soldiers, but it's starting to hit our pocketbooks, and it's starting to work. Diplomacy is actually working, and that, too, is something that the Republicans do not want people to realize. They don't want people to realize that diplomacy, even if it's bare-knuckled, really tough-as-nails diplomacy, really can work. So it's basically yet another illustration of the complete and utter failure of conservative ideology, not only economically, but internationally as well.
Good.
I mean, think about this. Think about how many wars we would be in right now if we had a President McCain or a President Romney. We'd be on the ground in Libya. We'd be on the ground in Syria. We would never have pulled out of Iraq. We would be delaying the pullout in Afghanistan that's going to happen this year. I mean, under a President McCain or Romney, we could have 4 or 5 hot wars going on right now at this very moment. But because we have President Obama, we have one war going on right now that is going to end this year and no other war starting. So that, again, right there lays bare the complete and total failure of conservative foreign policy.
Yeah. Okay, hot topic. Which, I mean, they're all hot topics.
Right.
Fort Hood. Which I have friends that I've known from high school And they actually, they were high school sweethearts, and they've been married all these years, but they are stationed there. And
right.
I was terrified. Now, this is the second one since, when was the last one, 2009? I believe there was another shooting.
Something like
at
that.
Fort.
There
you
was
know,
another,
but,
13 people got killed in the first Fort Hood shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm kind of happy that I haven't seen the, you know, oh, I don't want to hear about, you know, gun control and you'll take my guns out of my cold, dead hands. It's like, you know, I haven't seen
I
any
think,
of that, thankfully, this time. But,
I
mean,
I think the number one NRA talking point that both Fort Hood shootings kind of show to be complete and utterly fallacious and wrong is the idea that having more guns is going to prevent these mass shootings, because let's face it, it's hard to find a place in the United States that has a higher density of guns than a fucking military base. And yet,
yep.
You know, when you have that many guns in one place and somebody can still pull off a pretty nasty shooting, that just goes to show that even if every, you know, grade school kid was packing a 22 inside their SpongeBob backpack, it's not going to lessen shootings at all. I mean, literally, I mean, if the same people who do the NRA talking points ran the cigarette industry, they'd be saying that the quickest way to fight lung cancer is to smoke more. So it's
yeah.
pretty much the same level of absurdity. And it's an NRA talking point that is just being shown to be complete and totally absurd. I mean, the fact, too, that, you know, also I think the Fort Hood situations and a lot of other really bad things that are going on military bases is showing that the Republican ideal of using soldiers to achieve your foreign policy ends and then completely fucking them over when they come home doesn't really work. And yet that is still something that they keep pushing. I mean, the biggest single group hit by the latest round of food stamp cuts pushed by the Republicans are military families, because they're on that borderline area between, you know, being eligible and not being eligible for food stamps. So it hit them harder than it hit pretty much any other single demographic going. And the idea that, you know, trying to slash the VA and Veterans Administration, I mean, the Bush administration decimated the VA to a ridiculous amount. I mean, the Obama administration's been trying to rebuild it, and they've been having some success, but it's always easier to destroy something than it is to build it back up. When you get rid of thousands of seasoned, experienced workers in something like the VA, when you try to replace them, you're not going to get the old people to come back most often after you screwed them over and forced them out of their job. You've got to train new people, and it's been very slow in going. But that's yet another area where, you know, the Republican ideal of, well, we can always cut money from veterans benefits, which is what they love to do, is also showing to be an epic fail, because, you know, in areas where it's needed, like disability claims and mental health coverage for vets and that kind of thing, it's just been criminal the way that these soldiers have been coming back and have been faced with a situation where the very organizations that are supposed to help them reintegrate into society have had their hands tied through just having their budgets slashed over and over and over again through austerity. Another piece of sunshine news here, in the latest budget released by Paul Ryan, his idea of trying to cut even more from the budget. One of his things Paul Ryan is proposing is cutting $2.7 trillion from Medicaid and subsidies to help people buy private insurance. Basically, under his plan, 40 million people would be uninsured by 2024. So as we try to get more people covered under the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans' answer to that is, oh, no, let's get 40 million people who have coverage now and kick them off of it, including a lot of military families. the hits just keep on coming.
I know, right? You know, mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this before, you know, where they're heading. You know, I'm just so tired of this stupid. I mean, it's just such a huge amount of stupid. You know, and I still see, you know, like friends on Facebook or, you know, family, you know, because friends on Facebook who have these, you know, these ideas don't last as friends for very long.
Right.
But it's like, I mean, just buying into this and, you know, I mean, spreading just this, you know, the vitriol, you know, the whole,
right.
You know, just churning out what Fox
and
News
the lies, is just the overt lies over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, how, you know, you seem like a normal person. You seem like you're fairly intelligent. Why? How do you think this?
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that,
yeah.
You know, all Republicans are dumb. I'm not saying that. I'm saying people who buy into the Fox stuff and the conspiracy theories and, you know, just the heaps and huge amounts of lies. You know, just
right.
Out and out blatant lies. You know, I mean, when are we going to wake up?
Well, that's the thing, too, is that it's also, though, I mean, like, you and I, we're kind of a similar generational outlook here, and a lot of the people we know can have a very similar generational thing. What I'm telling people is that the millennials, the people who are, like, between, like, the 18 to 29-year-olds right now, as these people, or especially, like, the 16 to 29-year-olds, because let's face it, someone who's 16 this year is going to be ready to vote in the 2016 presidential election. Millennials
yeah.
are going to change the political landscape in a way that we haven't seen probably since the Reagan Revolution of 1980 and possibly since the liberal revolution of the late 1960s. This is a generation of people who have really come of age not under the type of political pressures and forces that you and I grew up under. But these are the people who
yeah.
came of age under people like George W. Bush and those types of policies. And the change that's coming is massive. And there are people on the right who realize it, which is one of the reasons why they're trying so hard to grab as much as they can from our culture, just trying to rip the culture off blind while they can because their time is limited. The median age of a Fox News viewer is somewhere in the late 60s. That tells you a lot right there. I mean, the people who are the
yeah.
Jon Stewart generation, the people who get their news from The Daily Show, if they get it from television at all, these people are coming in for a huge change. I mean, show you how big of a change it is. If you take a look at self-described born-again Christians in this age range, they favor marriage equality by around 56%. And these are evangelical Christians who are of a certain age. These are people who say that their churches should stop worrying about abortion and start worrying more about caring for poor people. You know, people
yeah.
actually were raised, people who are actually raised reading the Bible. Imagine that. You know, it's easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That kind of shit
exactly.
kind of sucks with these people. And, you know, this is a generation that is in favor of all kinds of things that we just feel like we've been treading water on for years, but in many ways it's a generational thing. I mean, a lot of people talk about how the baby boomers never translated their political awareness into real lasting political changes. But the thing is that you got to remember that the baby boomers, the people who were the hippies in the 60s, most people in that age range were not marching in the street. Most people in that age range were not turning on, tuning in, and dropping out. Most people in that age range, the most rebellious thing they ever did was smoke a joint. And that's it.
Yeah.
Most of them stayed in their comfortable suburban middle-class upbringing. You know, the kind of middle-class upbringing that was paid for by taxing the rich and buying American in the 1950s and early 60s, they stayed in their suburbs and they allowed their suburbs to imprint upon them. These are the people who became the Reagan Democrats in the 1980s. The people who, when people talk about why do Americans vote against their own self-interest, it's not Americans. It's stupid white people of a certain age and above that vote against their own better interests. The coming generation of millennials are browner. They are much more progressive. They have a higher degree, a higher opinion of socialism than they do capitalism, which is something that really scares the corporatocracy shitless. One of the big things whenever you see attempts at voter suppression, they always aim it at the younger people, too. That's why states that have these voter ID laws will take a gun license as a voter ID, but not a student ID as valid voter ID. That is by design because they know that, you know, but really everything that they're doing is just kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It's these little temporary measures that are doomed to fail. So what we have to do, though, is we have to take the ideals of Occupy, take the ideals of a generation of people identifying themselves as the 99%, as people who say, you know what, I'm probably never going to be one of these people on whatever the modern version of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is. You know, a lot of people in the baby boom generation didn't see themselves as oppressed proletariat. They saw themselves as temporarily inconvenienced millionaires. Whereas the newer generation see themselves as part of the masses, as part of the people. It's like, hey, we live in a very wealthy country. Why should so many of us be struggling in the shit? And that's the kind of thing that's going to completely revolutionize politics. What we have to do now is we have to prevent the right-wing forces from fucking it up too bad until these people get their act together and can actually start kind of, you know, claiming their heritage, so to speak.
Well, you know, plus, you know, this generation coming up, you know, my son is in that generation. They're
right.
A lot more, they're connected to each other. They can talk to each other. And I think that's, you know, a lot of the reasons why, you know, the government was trying to put stipulations and injunctions and stuff on the internet, you know, because, yeah, we talk to each other. We may not always talk nice, and we may mostly use it for posting pictures of cats, but we still talk to each other. You know, we can talk to the people that are going through what they're going through in Turkey. We can talk to, you know, well, we can't talk to China just yet, but, you know, we know what's going on. Our kids know more of what's going on because they've been brought up with this. You know, so it's like, and they've seen what their parents have gone through, suffering because of Republican voting and, you know, their tax breaks on the rich and corporations taking over America. You know, my question is, well, not question, but my hope, I guess, is maybe we can start getting these companies to ship the jobs back over. I mean, what can we...
going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't see
Something as simple as removing the tax breaks that companies get for shipping jobs overseas and instead having a tax penalty for companies to ship jobs overseas. Yeah, let's give the tax breaks to companies that create jobs in the United States for Americans. That's a very basic thing. And, you know, and it's not, and that's not a ridiculous thing. A lot of other countries will do that, that if you make a job that employs people in your country, you're going to say, hey, thanks. You know, let's give you a little sum for that. And also another thing about the current generation is that ideas that have been largely suppressed by a corporate media for a long time, things like single-payer health care, which has always been thought of as far too radical for the American society, the fact is that people can in the U.S. can communicate to other people in other countries that not only have this, they've had it for decades. They've had this stuff since the 70s or before, and it's like, yeah, it didn't cause, you know, it doesn't cause death panels or rationing of health care or anything like that. What it does is actually make sure that, you know, people can open a business and know that their employees are going to be reasonably healthy without them having to pay out the wazoo for health care and that sort of thing. All these different concepts and ideas, such as a basic social safety net that a lot of European countries have, where it's like, okay, you don't have a place to live, we'll give you a place to live. Not going to be the best place to live, but it's going to be sheltered. It's going to be reasonably secure for you. You don't have clothes? Well, here's some clothes to wear. They're not going to be fashionable, but they'll keep you from freezing your ass off. You know, here's some basic food, basic water, the basic social safety net. That, I mean, people read stories about J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books, and about how the fact that she had the ability to start writing these books while she was on the dole in England and gave her a chance to better herself so she wasn't constantly struggling all the time. Or like the fact that, I mean, one thing that a lot of people are blown away about is the realization that if you lived in England and you want to go to university, you go. And it's paid for.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go into debt that you're going to be paying off when you're 50 or 60 to
yeah.
do so. These types of ideas, people are talking to people who have been living in these societies that have these ideas, and they've had them for decades, and they work.
Well, a prime example is, you know, I am a member of Reddit. And,
yeah.
I mean, we Americans, like, okay, one American posted on a subreddit his insurance, you know, what he had to pay, you know, the fact that he actually had to declare bankruptcy at, I think, 25 or 27 years old. And,
yeah.
I mean, people from Australia, people from Holland, you know, people from all over the world were like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? How are you the richest country in the world, and your country is letting its citizens do this? Our country would not even think about that. It's like, you know, we've got bad parents. That's what I equate it to. We've got really bad parents.
That's a good way of putting it.
Huh?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and maybe we ought to stick them in the retirement home, you know, and let them deal with their own health care.
Well, it's like that great cartoon that was floating around on Facebook, like, what if Breaking Bad was made in the UK, you know? And it's like, oh, you know, you have cancer. He's like, oh, no, what about my family? What about health care bills? They're like, what, are you kidding? We're going to pay for all your treatment. Go home, get better. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go back to work in the end, you know?
Yeah. it amazes me. It amazes me
exactly.
that, I mean, why aren't we revolting?
Right, well, because, you know, for one thing, some people think we are very revolting, but anyway.
That's one thing, too.
For a long time, you know, sustained economic downturns are seen as advantageous to certain of the money classes, because when you have people who are worried about just eating this week, it's hard to have a lot of energy or time left over to become an activist. But that's the thing, is that's a very short-term thing. When you take people now, these kids who have been raised in a sustained economic downturn, the recession that started after 9/11 hasn't ended for the vast majority of Americans. And now you have an entire generation of people who pretty much their entire experience of socialization has happened under this sustained economic downturn. These people now are kind of like viewing themselves as, well, what the hell do I have to lose other, you know, by rising up and doing something different about that? I mean, that's what, that's what the Republicans just don't get, is the fact that, you know, they've lost the youth vote. They've lost all these different various groups that are getting more and more important for elections because of short-term strategies that in the long term are screwing them over. I've talked before about how the Republicans brought the racists into the party as a response to Democratic civil rights campaigns in the 60s, you know, the Southern strategy in the 70s, or the fact that the Republicans brought the social conservatives in the 80s. Things that for short term for a 10 or 20 year period worked out very well for them. But now that the electorate is becoming much more brown and much more ethnically based and not so white, that type of thing is screwing them over. I mean, George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., got the same amount of the white vote that Mitt Romney did. Only for, in 1988, that was enough to get you 400 electoral votes. In 2012, it was barely enough to crack 200. Alone shows you how different the electorate is becoming. And yet, the kind of numbers that the Democrats have had amongst African Americans, we're going to start seeing that mirrored amongst Latino voters, Asian American voters, and that sort of thing. And these are voting patterns that get ingrained at a young age that really aren't likely to change anytime soon. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Hillary is not only beating most of the Republican contenders in Texas, there's a chance that she could turn Mississippi blue in 2016 just off of demographic shifts alone. It's a long shot, but it's a possibility in ways that have not been seen before.
They're fucked.
Big time. Big time.
As long as the numbers beat the money, that's my big concern.
Yeah.
Just the numbers of people voting as opposed to the money.
Well, but again, look at 2012. If money determined everything in 2012, we would have had President Romney and a Republican Senate, and we didn't. The thing we have to do is we have to motivate our base to vote. When our voters, I mean, there was a special election in Florida, and the Republicans turned out about 40% of their base. The Democrats turned out 20% of ours. We lost. If we had turned out even just 35% of our base, we would have won that one. So the biggest thing that we have to fight right now, we have to fight the political hipsterism. The people who come out and say, oh, the Democrats and Republicans are the same, they serve the same masters, yada, yada, yada. You know, the type of thing that people say when they're fucking lazy and don't want to educate themselves, so they try to do something to sound hip, but all they are is coming off sounding like hipsters, which just, you know, fucking stupid people. That's what we've got to fight in the short term. That is what we've got to fight at every single turn of the wheel. And we can't let the opportunists like the fucking libertarians come in and start whining about, you know, this, that, and the other thing, because the libertarian platform makes the Republican platform look communist. The libertarian platform wants to abolish the minimum wage, wants to remove all restrictions from banks, remove all restrictions from corporations, abolish the EPA, the works. I mean, it's the libertarian platform is economically is Republican on steroids. So we've got to fight this notion that there is no choice, because that notion is something that is fostered and paid for by the Koch brothers, by the corporatocracy. Trust me, if it didn't matter who you voted for, the Koch brothers would not be spending $1 billion to try to defeat Democrats in the midterm elections. They would save their money.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing.
I think also with social media, I mean, I know, you know, it's a pain in the ass at times, but I think it actually has really done this country a world of good, because you see how quickly people jump on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the gay community, you know, like Barilla Costa, you know, they came out against the gays, and we, like, okay, well, fine, we just won't buy your stuff. And people are slowly but surely learning, okay, if we don't give you our money, you can't fuck us.
Right.
You have to back down. We can, you know, we may not have much of it, you know, because they've kind of put us in this pigeonhole that we have to dig ourselves out of. But
right.
what little money we do have still speaks to them volumes.
Well, the number one thing that defeated the Arizona anti-gay law was the business community. The business community saying, look, if you guys sign this, telling the governor, if you sign this into law, our state's going to be fucked economically because the rest of the country is going to rise up and boycott us. And it's happened to Arizona before when they tried to to not have a Martin Luther King Jr. holiday and that type of thing. It's happened before, and they know what kind of economic impact can happen. Take a look at what happened this week with Brandon Eich, CEO of Mozilla, when it turned out that he had given money to Proposition 8 to deny gay marriage. There was such an uproar that he resigned yesterday.
Yeah.
So just some people saying, I'm not going to use Firefox if this asshole is running it. Oh, and also, if you get any right-wingers who try to say, he was silenced, what happened to freedom of speech? Just say, hey, man, that was free market forces happening right there. People saying, we're not going to use this product, and the business going, oh, shit, we're going to get screwed. We better get the asshole out of here, basically. Pure and total free market forces, in many ways, the libertarian ideal. The people spoke. The government did not get involved, and we got the kind of change that the people wanted just through making our voices heard.
Exactly. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's beautiful. And I think it's fucking hilarious when they try to do it the opposite way. Oh, well, you know, like with J.C. me, you know, using Ellen DeGeneres as a spokesperson. Oh, well, we'll boycott you. Bye. You don't spend money here anyway.
Right.
You know, not enough of you anymore to outweigh the people who want human rights.
Exactly.
Because that's basically what it is.
Another thing JCPenney did that I thought was fucking hilarious, that when the right-wing pressure groups decide, oh, we're going to boycott JCPenney because they had an ad that featured two moms, JCPenney then put out an ad that had two dads. So,
yeah.
I mean, or now, I mean, let's face it, you know, take a look. Not exactly been a bastion of progressive ideals throughout the eons, but now Disney has a movie with a gay family in Frozen. There was a gay couple with kids in the movie Frozen. They were only in there for a minute, but they were there. So that just shows
awesome.
You where the wind blows.
Well, yeah, Disney has always been very supportive of same-sex couples.
Because they realize that
the
same-sex people's money is just as green as anybody else's.
Exactly. You know, it's people. And you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody does in the bedroom. I don't want to know. I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to know.
I'm not there. I don't care.
Exactly.
No.
There you go. Thank you. You know,
right.
And like Honey Maid, I'm so proud. They just came out with a commercial. Like I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I've seen it floating around on Facebook. And what they did was because I noticed the commercial. I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, they were saying families are wholesome. And they were showing,
right.
They showed two dads. They showed an interracial couple. They showed tattooed people.
Oh, I
they
loved
showed,
it. Yes,
yeah.
Commercial.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Beautiful message. So they got a lot of hate. Well, what they did was they paid two artists to, you know, for anybody else who hasn't seen their comeback for this.
Right.
They took two artists and had them create a piece of art out of printed pieces of the hate mail, you know, the Twitter feed and all that stuff, and they rolled them up and glued them into the word love. You know, and then they love that they followed it up with the fact that, but we got a lot of support, too, and it outweighed the hate. And then they filled it in, you know, and it was just amazing. You know, so it's, you know, I think, you know, sometimes it seems dismal. And, you know, it's not as dismal as it was, like, back in the 2008.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right after when we were trying to get, you know, when Bush was going out of office and we were trying to get Obama in, I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, what is wrong with these people?
Right.
You know, it was scary. It was a very scary time. And even during the re-election, it was a scary time.
I was scared.
Yeah. You know,
but
we're starting to see hope.
A couple of great indicators that I'd love to point out, too. Two of my favorite things was, one of them was, of course, was a John Stewart quote when President Obama came out in favor of gay marriage. Because just as recently as 2004, you had people on on in both parties against gay marriage and basically saying, oh, gay marriage is going to lead to turtle fucking and that kind of stuff. but then just 6 years later, when President Obama comes out in favor of gay marriage, what was the big response of the Republicans? Oh, well, he'll say anything popular to get reelected. I mean, talk about a sea change. But another indicator that I like to show that just how much hope there is for things getting better. It's no secret to my friends that one of my big WTF aspects of my personality is that I'm a big country music fan. I'm heavy metal and country music. I love both of them. And country music's a little bit more recent for me. I've been listening to metal since I was like, I think officially 8 years old when I started listening to Kiss. And country music's only been in the last 5-6 years. But when you take a look at a top 20 single from Kacey Musgraves called Follow Your Arrow, where she sings, make lots of noise, kiss lots of boys, or kiss lots of girls if that's what you're into. I mean, these kind of, or like in the song by Florida Georgia Line, This Is How We Roll, when one of the lines is, we love who we love and we want to have fun. So now, and that's one of the big phrases in the gay rights movement is love who you love. And to hear these sentiments coming out of all places, not just Macklemore and hip-hop, but fucking country music, just shows you how all-pervasive these things are becoming. Because these aren't little outliers. These aren't like little independent singles that nobody ever hears. These are like top 10. Like the This Is How We Roll, I think, is the number one country song in the nation right now. So that just shows you how all-pervasive things are coming. And you take a look at the fact that just maybe 15, 20 years ago, nobody ever thought that nationwide marriage equality was something we were going to see anytime soon, and we're on the doorstep of it right now. So that just shows you that when people get together and we really make ourselves heard, we can make mighty things happen. And they can spend all the money they want to, but you know what? The NRA spent a lot of money in the 2012 elections, and 99.5% of all the money they spent was wasted on campaigns that they lost. So,
yep.
if the people are united, we can fight back anything. Money, it don't matter. If we make ourselves heard and we vote and we vote and we make ourselves heard every single time we can cast a ballot, we can change this country. We can make it happen.
Well, I got to give huge props to Ohio, because I believe it was yesterday or today. They struck down the ban on gay marriage in Ohio.
Well, and from what I'm seeing right now, the initial ruling is going to be forcing Ohio to recognize marriages performed out of state. A full and complete striking down, I think, is yet to come. I was just looking at that earlier, and the signals are a little mixed, but the judge is basically saying that he's definitely going to strike down Ohio's refusal to recognize gay marriages performed out of state, and that right there, as soon as you have that happen, that stands and the entire thing falls.
Right.
Exactly.
I can.
Well, props to
them
anyway.
Not yet. Not until it goes through.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the judge just ruled that Ohio will have to recognize gay marriages performed out of state. So that's part of the law being struck down. And things are happening right and left. I mean, not just in places like Ohio, that's notoriously purple, but like Utah and Oklahoma and Texas, you know, just knocking them off one by one. And it's like, and my attitude is, suck it, haters, you know.
That's awesome. Well, we've got like half an hour, so I want to give you some time to talk about what's going on in your world.
project-wise.
Yes, project-wise, because we usually run out of time before we really get to talk to you about that.
Well, okay, well, I'm currently moving forward with pre-production on my next film, which is called Straightening Up. And for people who haven't heard it, I will say that Straightening Up is a movie about three people who move into a house together, two women and one man. And they are all three of them are afraid that the roommates are going to find out about their secret. Thing is, they all have the same secret. They're all gay, but they act straight around each other because they're closeted, hence the name Straightening Up. Moving forward on pre-production for that. I'm actually delaying. I'm getting ready to start doing group auditions on that. But I'm delaying that a little bit because my father's been in and out of the hospital a little bit. He had a stroke recently. Things have been a little... things have been a little higgledy-piggledy as far as that goes going on. But basically, I'm just going to delay things out probably until beginning of next month. But then we're going to be casting. I'm currently looking for a cinematographer, a director of photography who'd like to work on this project. And we're moving forward. I'm looking to have, I'm not sure on the schedule on things right now. It depends on how quickly I can pull a cast together. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast some of the main roles in the film, and then we're going to shoot a couple of scenes. And those scenes are going to go up on a crowdsourcing fundraising page where people can actually take a look at some scenes from the movie and hopefully donate money to help us get this film made and get it out there. I'm also working on finding a distributor for Dark of Moon. I'm going to be contacting some of the better-known people on my Facebook friends list. I'm not going to say who just yet, but I've got some indie film celebrities on my list. I'm going to see if I can send them a copy of Dark of Moon to see if they want to say something nice about it that I can use as part of a marketing campaign to get Dark of Moon picked up by a distributor so that way I can focus on making my next film and not so much on selling the last one. I'm also getting ready to do Starwood this year. I have the workshop that I've decided that I'm going to do this year, and I've sent those off to the people involved. And, working on, I'm doing a political workshop called Where's My Unicorn Barack Obama? I also want to do a workshop on science and spirituality and the natural fit that somebody can have using scientific discovery to deepen your understanding of the spiritual world around you.
See, that's something, how do you pronounce his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
No. My first husband is actually... he has a page called The Quantum Witch, and he gives many lectures about science and magic and why they are so compatible.
And it's a subject I'm very fascinated with. I'm a very scientific witch.
Right.
I know what I've seen.
Isn't it nice to be part of a religion that embraces science instead of seeing it as an obstacle?
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. The past couple weeks watching Cosmos, which I love Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Ha.
Love him. Shout out to you, Neil. But it's just even with that, I mean, even though I embrace science, it still blows my mind sometimes. It's almost too much, and I can almost understand how people would shut it down. A modicum of understanding how people could I don't understand that, therefore it doesn't exist, and I'm just going to believe this. Do that.
The one thing I like to use to illustrate to people about how science has helped me with my spiritual understanding of the universe is how Einstein's theory of general relativity has affected my views on reincarnation. Because one of the big questions, and it all started because my mom always used to like to watch Sylvia Brown when she was on some of these talk shows. I can't stand Sylvia Brown, by the way.
Now.
Yeah, I know, and she probably didn't even see that coming, but anyway.
Burn it.
Somebody asked Sylvia Brown, how long is it in between incarnations? And she's just like, 100 years, next. And I'm just like, oh, really? It's like, you know, on what fucking stone tablet did you find that etched? Because that's something that people have wondered, too, about time spacing between incarnations. But the thing is that I don't really think there is time in between incarnations. As a matter of fact, I believe that every incarnation that we have ever lived or will ever live in linear time is happening right now. And the reason I believe that is because of science. Now, one thing that a lot of people realize is that, you know, according to Einstein's theory of general relativity, the faster you go, the less that time affects you, linear time affects you. So if you go very, very close to the speed of light, say 99.95% of the speed of light, what feels like a half an hour to you would be roughly something like, I don't know, 75 or 100 years to people on Earth who were not on your little fast spaceship. So basically, the way linear time is perceived by us is entirely dependent upon the physical universe. The faster you're going in relative to the mass around you, the less that linear time, the slower that it affects you. So our entire perception of linear time is entirely tied to the physical universe. That's part of general relativity. Well, taking into account things like reincarnation, once we are done with this incarnation and we step out of the physical world into the realm of spirit or whatever realm extends beyond the physical world, at that point, linear time, as you and I understand it, becomes meaningless. Linear time does not exist outside of the physical universe. And if you look at the quantum level, linear time doesn't always really matter a whole fucking lot in the physical universe on that level. But still, so the idea is that when we step out of this incarnation, we will be able to perceive any other incarnations that we have or, quote unquote, will live in the linear timeline, because time to us is insignificant at that point. So there isn't, you know, so when people say, well, how can you, like, do spirit contact if you believe in reincarnation? That's because once you step out of the physical world, time doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning to you anymore. So spiritually, you could pop in anywhere you want to. As a matter of fact, things like precognition or ESP could very well be because our spiritual selves on one aspect, outside of the linear timeline, are kind of whispering things to us in the linear timeline. So ESP could be our future selves telling us, guess what's going to happen if you don't change things? Just because outside of the physical world, linear time is meaningless.
I never thought about it that way.
See what science does to you?
Yes. It's beautiful. I love science.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I like drugs like marijuana as opposed to speedy things like cocaine and all that, because marijuana allows you to slow down and perceive things instead of just trying to speed your titties off. So that's, I've always, my partying existence has always been trying to find ways to mellow out my mind, because my mind moves so fast that it kind of makes me feel seasick after a while.
Exactly. It's like my brain never shuts up, and it's usually thinking of stupid shit. It's
Yes. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I can usually speak very well in a public forum, because part of my brain is always thinking of what I'm going to be saying in the next 5 seconds.
Yeah. See, my problem is my brain is going so quick. Like, I will have conversations, but I have half of them in my head, and half of them I'll, like, blurt out half a sentence, and people are looking at me like, what? Blah, 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 blah.
It plays hell when you're trying to tell a joke because all of a sudden you're saying, Yeah, and then the guy said the Wookiee in the diaper has to go, and it's like, oh, did I not give you the first part of that joke yet? I'm sorry. So,
we're kin.
The Wookiee in the diaper has to go, but enough about Michelle Bachmann. Let's talk about other things.
Oh! Burn!
Now, I know that's not fair. I shouldn't do that because I don't want to insult Wookiees. I mean...
Oh, she uses Nair.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Although,
oh, yeah,
of
course...
I am so waiting for him to come out of the closet. I am
Marcus?
So waiting for the day her husband.
Yeah.
The day that man comes out of the closet. We all know you're gay. We all
yeah.
know. There ain't no
well,
shame
yeah,
in your game.
The number one reason why Republican men oppose marriage equality is because then their boyfriends are going to give them ultimatums.
Oh. I didn't think about that. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God! I mean, come on, think about it. When in the Republican sphere, you know, Ann Coulter is a sex symbol. I mean, you know, she's got to. You know, these people have got to depend on repressed gays because, you know, I mean, my God, it's like, you know, that, you know, that when that woman's your sex symbol, you just got to know that, you know, marrying the dudes who are quietly closing their eyes and thinking about Tom Selleck is all they got left.
I know. Didn't she just come out with a new book?
Oh, probably. Who knows? Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
My favorite answer of the night. Who gives a shit?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, you want to talk about funny? Talk about funny. I found in this stack of DVDs that I had gotten off a friend who was just like saying, if there's anything good here, just, you know, here, have it. There was actually, in the 2004 campaign, the American porn industry created a fundraising film for the Carrie campaign. It was a porno where all the profits were going to be donated to the Democrats, and it literally had an Al Franken look-alike fucking an Ann Coulter look-alike in the ass. It's fucking hilarious. One of those little bits of pop culture that people don't realize exists.
I haven't heard from Ann Coulter in a while. I thought maybe she had finally disappeared because she keeps losing weight. I don't know.
She went back to Castle Grayskull. I'm sorry.
Happy little
bee.
Woo!
I love it.
Oh, my good. Oh, and another little thing I'm also going to be doing here soon as I have some time. Imagine that, having time. But anyway, I'm actually going to be partnering with Justin Rosario, who has a wonderful, wonderful blog and Facebook page called Proud to Be a Filthy Liberal Scum. Justin is fun because he's a very in-your-face kind of guy. He doesn't give a shit about being nice or anything like that. And I'm going to partner with him, and we're going to be taking on the neo-libertarians that are trying to tempt people with obfuscation and bullshit. Because when you take a look at a lot of the graphs, the graphics, the infographics that libertarians like to spread around, they're always talking about things like drug policy or having overseas military bases or domestic spying and all that stuff. That's what they're really emphasizing. But a big chunk of their platform, they don't talk about. And I'm going to be developing a series of infographics that takes a look at the libertarian platform line by line and explains to people what they're not telling you. Like I said, part of the libertarian platform is the idea that they want to abolish any program or department not specifically required by the U.S. Constitution. Now, what kind of things does that get rid of? It gets rid of workplace safety. It gets rid of child labor laws. It gets rid of environmental protections. It gets rid of all the parts of government that actually work. It gets rid of, it keeps the post office and the military pretty much.
Wow.
Like I said, the Libertarian Party wants to abolish the minimum wage. They want to abolish any and all restrictions on corporations. They want, basically, if corporations, it would be replacing the government with a corporatocracy, where there would be absolutely no checks and no balances on corporate power. And their attitude is, well, we'll let the states take care of regulating things like the environment. And I'm sure those people in West Virginia or Michigan or North Carolina or people who live near the exploding chemical plant in Texas, they'll tell you what happens when you let the state regulate things like workplace safety and the environment and that sort of thing. But literally, it would...
regulations in place, how's that working?
Well, the thing is one thing that happened under Bush was that the enforcement parts of most of these things, like the EPA, were so horribly decimated that the states have been kind of in charge of enforcing environmental laws for the better part of a decade. And that's where you get things like, I mean, not only was the big chemical spill in West Virginia that contaminated the drinking water of 300,000 people a disaster, but the only reason why a single spill in a single river could affect that many people's drinking water is because a lot of people in West Virginia who for generations had been depending on their own private well water have had to hook into public water supplies because industrial pollution has destroyed people's wells. They've destroyed the sources of fresh water that families in West Virginia had been using since the state was founded. So, I mean, literally, you know, instance after instance in states where, you know, they've had to be dealing with this stuff on their own, we see how well the states manage that sort of thing. Or the fact that any ability for the government to enforce civil rights law would be completely done away with under a libertarian regime. You know, any controls on, like, things like having corporations have to label what's in your food, that would be gone under a libertarian regime. Basic things like nutritional information on the food you eat would be a thing of the past under a libertarian regime. It would literally be replacing the government with corporations. And that's the part of the libertarian platform that they do not talk about. And I'm going to be putting together a series of very easy-to-understand infographics where I'm going to directly reference and link to the libertarian platform to say, this isn't anything that I'm getting off of any sort of Democratic group or Republican group. This is what happens when you read their own platform and just take it and take what they say and implement that in a policy direction. And my answer is that if someone wants a third party, motherfucker, pick a better one than the fucking Libertarian.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
most people don't realize.
Like,
I was just going to say that the Libertarian Party was founded in the 1950s because there were people in the corporate world who were afraid that the Republicans were going to become too populist because this was the era of Dwight Eisenhower. This is the time when you'd have a Republican president, when he left office, warn the country about the military-industrial complex. And that type of thing. I mean, Eisenhower was a very populist guy. He wasn't a rich guy. He was a general, but he was very connected to his troops. And there were people in the corporate world who were afraid that the Republican Party was going to follow Eisenhower's example and become more of a champion for the everyday people. And they figured if the Democrats were already on their way to do that, if they had lost the Republicans too, they wouldn't have had anybody. So they formed the Libertarian Party as a kind of an emergency thing that they were then going to fund in an attempt to destroy the Republican Party if the Republicans went populist. Now, the Goldwater Revolution in the 1960s made sure that the Republican Party was safe for corporate interests and so the libertarians could just be this wacky third party, but that's their roots, and most of the people who've gone into the Libertarian Party over the last decade have been economic conservatives from the Republican Party who just aren't racist enough to be able to get along with the modern Republican Party. So anybody who tells you that they're a left libertarian and they want to try to change the party in that way, good fucking luck. It's a lot. I'll often say that the Democrats are not perfect, but we can guilt trip the Democrats into doing the right thing, like how we guilt trip the Democrats into killing the Monsanto Protection Act this week in the Senate. It's dead. It's not coming back. And that's because people spoke up and told the Democrats, don't you fucking dare. And they listened. Where, you know, so the Democrats aren't perfect, but you can guilt trip them into doing the right thing, whereas the Republicans are going to do whatever the fuck they want and claim that you supported them anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, I hate to do this, but we've got 3 minutes left.
That clock on the wall said, time for the hippie to go back and to hang out with his family.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah, you go get you some happy herbs or, you know, whatever you go do.
You better find happy herbs.
Huh?
Yeah. It is 4:20 and it's ganja time. So
there you go. Have one for me.
I'll have one for everybody listening to the fucking show, man, okay?
All right. Yay. Well, we love having you on. You know that, and we can't wait till next month. Send me your links, and I will make sure that they get the page, and people can go and check those out and help fund your movie and where they can go and audition and all that good stuff. And we'll find you a cinematographer if we can.
If you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody in Ohio who wants to get a chance to shoot a movie. I mean, I'm hoping to pay people this. I can't say how much. It depends on how well our fundraising goes. But this is a movie. I'm going to be taking this to every alternative film festival that I can in the country. I'm going to take it anywhere that they'll have me. I will be there. So if you work on my film, you're going to get exposure out the wazoo and hopefully a few bucks, too.
I want to expose my wazoo. Hey, Talon. Save room for me at Stoll. Save room for me at Starwood. I'll see you in a few months, baby.
All righty. Let's party. I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah, and if I can swing it, I may come, but I'm not sure how that's going to go yet.
Thank you all for having me, and you guys have an awesome, awesome month.
You too. We love you.
Bye-bye. Blessed be and shit.
Bye.
Oh, okay.
He's awesome. Oh, and I don't know if the listeners could hear that because we're on speaker, but yeah, we got 90 seconds. But we are going to wrap it up. We love you guys. We will see you next week and have a great week. Hopefully things will be getting brighter and better and great blessings.
Great blessings. Yeah, I love you.
Love you guys.
Keep your cooters clean.
Yes, keep your cooters clean. If not, run them through the car wash. Night.
Night.